You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get, except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. Come get some. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I am your host, Damon Hatfield. With me this week is Greg Miller.
I believe George Washington said you put the lime in the coconut.
And you drink it all up?
Yeah, no, that was Abraham Lincoln.
Really? He's sort of mixed up. Mitch Dyer is here.
I don't have anything clever to say.
And Brian Altano is here.
I have a catchphrase.
It's true. The bar is really low for clever things to say and gibberish about American presidents.
It's been a few months now. It's time you had a little catchphrase, Mitch.
I know. I've been trying. Nothing's stuck. Just yelling catchphrase doesn't work.
No, yeah, that doesn't work.
That doesn't work very well.
Maybe something about how you're new to America. I am new to America.
My catchphrase just means, oh, sorry. My mistake.
It's a good one. I like that.
It is Friday. Seems
Thank
like
God.
We're in good spirits.
Yeah.
We've already listened to some funny soundboards in the office this morning.
Mm-hmm. David Lee Roth. That was a highlight.
We have a pool party to go to this afternoon. You going to take your shirt off there, Greg?
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm shirtless right now.
And yesterday we got a pretty cool Assassin's Creed 3 trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Finally got to see some gameplay, huh?
And a fucking bear.
Yeah.
The scariest bear in the world.
Yeah. So there are three things that really stood out to me in the trailer. The first thing is the bear.
Yeah, well, obviously. Mm.
Though,
obviously,
the first time that we've had battle against animals in Assassin's Creed, right?
Yes,
correct. I don't think you ever had to fight your own horse.
There were eagles on the top of buildings that you scared away.
Yeah.
That was
they were just
it.
Chilling.
You could trip horses.
True.
Yeah, you could.
And I wonder what the. I'm just trying to imagine like what really happens when that bear shows up to you in Assassin's Creed 3. What happens then?
You're going to roll around in a circle and shoot it with things from far, and then eventually you'll wear it down, and it'll get a big icon over its head, and you can hit it.
And then you can just for a quick time.
It'll be this awesome kill animation.
I think he's carrying a shovel, and he gets mad at you for smoking in the woods.
That was good. Well played.
Thank you.
We're also here that this is going to be some sort of like a barter system, possibly.
Yeah, you can sell bear meat.
Yeah.
They're just taking Red Dead.
Yeah,
just taking what was awesome, which was totally awesome from Red Dead. I would love to have that in Assassin's Creed.
Apparently, they've been doing that like before.
Yeah, they said Oregon Trail. Stuff.
No. I think it was all Red Dead.
Yeah, like they were saying, the Ubisoft guys were like, "Oh, yeah, we were doing that," and then Red Dead came out, and we were all like, "Oh, fuck."
Second thing that stood out to me in the trailer was what we're calling the rope dart.
Yeah,
sure.
When it's
he's
so
up,
cool.
He shoots the dude in the neck and then pulls him up.
Yeah, so he's up on the branch of the tree. Yeah, shoots his dart to the guy's neck. Then he uses
the counterweight to lower himself down while he like hangs the guy up on, so on the tree.
I'm curious how this works, because I really don't know that it's necessary to hang a man from a tree if you shot him in the throat with a dart. Like, I think that'll probably do it.
But it looks cool.
Exactly. It's like it's all about the theater of it, because then the other guys are distracted by their floating friend.
They're horrified.
Yeah, exactly.
They're like, oh my God, we got to fight this crazy dude underneath our dead friend.
That was awesome.
Okay. It's like some straight up scorpion from Mortal Kombat shit.
Yeah.
Like, so I don't know if you'll be able to use it just on the ground. If you see some guy walking down the street,
yeah, does the game turn into does the game turn into Just Cause, where you can just use it to grapple around?
Yeah, I mean, that would be awesome. Sure.
Yeah,
yeah.
While we're speculating,
what's the third thing?
Using the musket to stab the other soldier. God.
Yeah, the dual kill animation. Yeah, yeah,
that's like the most elaborate murder.
See, that wasn't as cool to me as the parts where he's just bust through a window and runs through some guy's house.
Oh yeah, that was cool too.
I mean, that was like
the whole trailer was cool. Yeah. It was one of those trailers that like
Casino Royale shit right there.
Yeah,
I'm an Assassin's Creed fan in general, pretty much. I would say, and I had been predicting or asking them to go to the American Revolution. They finally did. I knew I was going to like this game, and so seeing all this stuff, I'm only getting more and more excited. And the only way I could get more excited, it's my most anticipated game now of the year. The only way I could get more excited is if in the next trailer they just say, "And there's no Templar shit and no stupid-ass, you're just hanging out in the American Revolution in the
Animus." Would be great if the trailer ended with none of that Templar bullshit.
Just go have fun in the American Revolution.
See, I don't know anything about America, so I'm going to use this as like a history lesson.
There you go.
This is how
it happened. I'm sure they're going to show a whole bunch of pictures and paintings in the background now. You'll see this guy. Oh, that was him.
I hope there's only like one part set in the modern times where the main character.
Well, there's more Desmond than ever. Yep. That's the core.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I like Desmond fine. Again, though, as long as there's no, I don't care about the Peace of Eden or any of these spoilers.
I'm over it.
I'm giving you a chance to get out. Spoiler. Any of these damn space alien future Athenas talking. Get out of here.
What the hell?
Can
was
we
all
just
that?
Fucking stab people and be assassins and have some fun?
Yeah.
Nope. Alien gods.
Damn it. They're like, here's an animated GIF of the naked people running around the Garden of Eden. I don't care.
Yeah, I know. Right?
Don't care.
Yeah,
it's kind of unfortunate that that's sort of the crux of Assassin's Creed, because it really doesn't need that.
Exactly.
You could just be an assassin in that time period and the game would be amazing.
All this stuff looks so fucking cool. Just
and
do that.
That's what got them in this lawsuit now. Because like that's the idea that there's an author who wrote a book several years ago that has a very similar premise about an animus and using that to like...
I read the book. It's called Wacky Horse Shit.
I'm just saying. Now, if that wasn't in the game, then there wouldn't be it wouldn't be an issue,
But then there'd be no way to link them all together.
Just use the magical apple. You can link everything to
the Peace of Eden.
So your most anticipated game of the year, huh?
Yeah.
Is that only because we expect Last of Us to be a 2013 game?
No, I think this is a game. I mean, like, the whole reason I loved the other Assassin's Creed was gameplay, and what didn't ever really fit for me was the story or the setting all that much. Like, I'm climbing around shit. But like, I've always been interested in history, not to like Colin's level, obviously, or anything like that. Mm. So American history, I should say. Mm. So to be able to go back and do this kind of stuff and have like landmark or like moments I remember from history class and stuff like that really has me excited. Last of Us, I'm sure, is going to be spectacular whenever it comes out and stuff. But I haven't seen it in action still. I still don't know much about it other than this piece here and there. Whereas this one's like, here's this awesome gameplay. Here's all this cool shit you can do.
Yeah, you can pretty much already imagine what it's going to feel like playing that game.
And it's going to feel great. It's going to be awesome. I have no doubt.
Assuming they get rid of all the bullshit they had in the last one, like sitting on a roof and commanding troops and all that.
Ugh. Oh,
yeah. They lost me.
That was a terrible experiment.
And none of those like horse cart scenes or anything.
Did you ever run your feature about the games we stopped playing?
No.
I finally came up with one because you ask about that, but I'm usually in another project. But I came up on the bus the other night with I stopped playing The Last Assassin's Creed. And I know we talked about this in GameScoop, but I won't beat the dead horse. But that's one I'll write about.
Yeah.
All right. Brian, what is your most anticipated game of the year?
Well, it was BioShock.
Okay.
Well, so that's not happening.
Yeah. Now you have to pick a new one.
Yeah, it's either Assassin's Creed or... We'll see what happens with this new Rayman game. It looks interesting. Mm. But, that's pretty much it for me right now. I watched the Assassin's Creed trailer maybe 6 times yesterday. Just like...
Yeah.
Because there's something about... We talked about, like, the running through building stuff. Like, there was something... They really nailed that in Resident Evil 4, which is, like, one of my favorite games. So you could just... You're in a town, you just bust through a window, run through, grab some shit, bust through the other window. But this was, like, 10 times as fast. And I love the gameplay in Assassin's Creed. I'm just like...
Exactly.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's just... At its core, it's so good. And this whole, like, watching the fight scenes where he's just, like, fluidly moving between 50 different kills is just amazing.
When he picks that dude up and, like, runs with him.
Because that's the type of game, like, I know when we get it in the office, it's going to be one of those things that whoever's playing it is going to have 10 people around him at any given moment just being like, holy shit, that's awesome. Because even if you're not good at those games, you can figure out a way to look pretty good playing them.
counter kill everything.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. That, see, that's the thing I don't want to see though. Is like that's what, like, you know, when you see the Ezio trailers or whatever, he would be doing the fast kills too. But then when you play, it would be you around 10 guys in a circle and you're in your parry stance, and then they come in and then you get to do.
Well,
the cool
I think they're eliminating that with what Brian's talking about, right? Like the idea that you can just charge through everybody and kill guys on the fly.
Yeah,
run as long forward, as kill everything. Yeah. And it'll just eliminate the need.
Yeah, they've,
to do
they've
that.
Definitely gotten better with that stuff. In the first one, it was totally a lot of just like you'd be banging on some guy's head for 15 minutes. All right, I'll flip around him maybe. But yeah, it's gotten better and better, and it just looks fantastic now. So,
Mitch, most anticipated game of the year.
Just for the sake of not beating the Assassin's Creed horse, I'm going to say Metal Gear Solid Rising Revengeance.
Really?
Whatever the fuck that game's name is now.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Interesting choice.
Yeah, I fucking love that franchise to pieces. I don't care how nutty that game looks. That it starts riding, throwing up fucking Metal Gear Ray across the city. I'm into it. That looks awesome. I cannot wait for that.
Wow.
And it's, I can never remember the developer, the guys who did Vanquish and Bayonetta.
Platinum.
Yeah.
Those guys turn games around like that. They do good work. They do fast work, and they're actually going to make that game finally come out on, you know, their tech and with their wacky ass ideas, and it's going to be crazy. And I can't wait to play as Ninja
Gaiden. They just make like good, solid, fun as fuck action games.
Yeah,
which
exactly.
Is like, that's what I need. There's
fun as fuck.
Yeah. Fun as fuck.
Put that on your box.
that's the point, right? Like they understand what's good, and they understand how fucking crazy they are. Like they know what's stupid about all of their games, and they totally embrace it. And I can't wait to see how that affects Metal Gear. And we're already seeing it with him, like running up a sword or whatever the shit, and chopping a thing in half and throwing another one. It's nuts. I can't wait. Super stoked.
My most anticipated game, I've said this before, but it's Tomb Raider.
I'm still... when are we seeing more of that?
Yeah.
E3.
Better. It's scheduled to come out this year, right?
Yeah. Unless it's being pushed back. Last E3, they said it would be out in fall of 2012. So.
Okay. Are you worried that it's going to be pushed back? Because we haven't seen anything. Or you think it's just going to be their big reveal here?
There's a possibility. But I don't know. We'll see.
There's a possibility you're worried. That's how you dodge the question.
That it could be pushed back.
Are you worried, Damon? You're on the hot seat.
At this point, I'm not worried.
Okay.
It's not keeping me up at night.
Jackie Brown, I don't know what's going to happen. I need to know what's up with Laura.
There is another Assassin game coming out this year. It's called Hitman Absolution. It has an interesting pre-order incentive going on at GameStop.
Does it?
Whereas, well, no, it does.
Are you sure?
You don't think this is interesting?
No.
Not interesting.
I'll explain. I think
it's boring. It's a boring pre-order incentive to you?
The incentive itself is interesting. The notion of what it is cool. The actual what it is dumb.
The game?
Yeah.
You played it?
No, it looks terrible, though.
Okay.
All right, let the listeners know. What are you talking
about?
Carry
on, Damon. Sorry.
If you pre-order Hitman Absolution at GameStop, you get a free downloadable mini-game called Hitman Sniper Challenge. But it's only if you pre-order at GameStop. Now, we bitch a lot about pre-order incentives here at GameScoop and at IGN, and about how you get different little sort of meaningless trinkets from different retailers.
Yeah.
Exclusive hat.
Yeah. But here, I think that one actually makes sense. This one is actually real incentive to pre-order the game from GameStop.
You get the game.
Yeah, you get a free game. You can only get it from this one retailer. That makes sense. So, I don't know. I haven't played Cyber Challenge yet. I thought it looked interesting. To me, it's just like it's a one trick pony. It's a one mode game where you have 15 minutes to assassinate your targets as quickly as you can, and you unlock weapon upgrades, and there are leaderboards, and it comes with achievements and trophies. So, I think that's kind of cool.
That's a neat idea. Okay,
hater over here, Debbie Downer.
I'm sorry, I love the idea of a free game for pre-ordering. Like that's awesome, especially if it's never coming to Live Arcade, if it's never coming to PSN, whatever. Like there are achievements, right?
Yes, what he said.
Okay, sorry. I don't listen to people.
I don't understand why something like that would never come to Live Arcade or PSN.
It's got to come later.
Why
right?
Hide something cool from so many people and make them go to GameStop?
Oh, yeah. I mean, maybe it will eventually.
I think eventually it will. All these pre-order bonuses eventually come out somewhere else.
Yeah, it's like,
all those Batman skins and all that crap.
Mm. I don't know. I thought it was kind of cool. And
yeah.
Can't you could cancel your pre-order, right?
Yeah.
So couldn't you just pre-order and then get the game and then...
Yeah.
Yeah, well, but then you're getting the bad-looking Hitman game instead of the good one.
The bad-looking Hitman
game. I don't know. That's not what Hitman is about. I don't know, man. It's not an action game.
I'm saying if you didn't want to get it from GameStop.
I want to buy it from Walmart. Yeah, if you don't want to buy it from,
For some reason. Mm-hmm. What, it costs you $5 pre-order at GameStop?
Yep.
So then you get this game for $5. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, if
which
you
is
want
like a, you actually get your $5 back.
Yeah, you get your money back when you cancel.
You get it free.
Oh.
When you cancel, you get your money back, so.
Yeah. Okay.
Surely GameStop thought this through. We're missing some part of red tape here. Maybe it only comes out the week of or something.
I don't know. I mean, I used to do this stuff all the time.
Oh my god,
ladies and gentlemen!
Oh my god,
an unexpected fan for coming here, good sir.
Get your ass in here,
GameScoop alum.
Wow,
you might remember him from Retro City, the greatest podcast on IGN,
or Retrocity, which I used to call.
No,
it.
I don't think that's what.
What's up, dude?
I think that's what it was really called.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're being joined by one Levi Buchanan here in the podcast room.
What's up? Give him your mic.
I'm just in town, going to head down to EA.
Sit down. I thought I'd swing by and put that sultry baritone voice to work.
You need none of these headsets.
You're gonna have to share a mic here. But
come with me.
The listeners would love to hear from you.
Hello. Nice to see everybody again.
What's up, Levi?
Not much.
How are you?
Not bad, thank you. How about yourself?
We're doing very well. This is such a pleasant surprise.
Yeah, like I said, I had a little time. I came in, I was like, I should go see my good friends at IGN.
Yes.
You look younger. Are you aging backwards?
Yes, yes.
I'm trying to.
Wow, it's working.
Thanks.
Nice work.
Once the IGN succubus detaches itself from you.
The host parasite.
So you're going down to EA.
Yes.
You're leaving shortly, or was this, we don't have much time with you, we can't get lunch
I'm
or whatever?
I'm leaving shortly, yes. Okay. I have to head down there for the day.
What about tonight? Are you free tonight, or?
Headed back.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Quick visit.
Okay.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I just want to stick my head in and say hello.
It's a delightful interruption.
Yeah, it's nice to see you.
Levi, what is the worst game you've ever played?
Oh, no. Some of the worst games I've ever played?
Yes.
Probably the absolute worst would be stuff I played, like, back on the 2600. I mean, mm-hmm. like, just absolute basement quality. Even now when you see like a game that's not very good, you can always just see pieces of it. You're like, that works, or that would have worked. But I remember games back then just being like, there is nothing redeeming about this whatsoever.
Well, that's when like Indiana Jones was a square with a rectangle on his head and he had to fight circles.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
And they're like, just like the movie.
But Levi, we were just talking about our most anticipated games of the year. So what is yours?
Most anticipated games of the year. Let's see. I don't want to talk about our games because that's not fair.
well, Chillingo
has some mail, you know. But most anticipated games. I was really looking forward to BioShock Infinite.
Yeah,
that'll be next year now.
Exactly.
What else am I looking forward to this year? There's a lot of stuff coming up, so I'm unprepared for that question.
What are you playing right now? What are you playing right now?
I'm not playing anything. Console-wise, right at this moment.
You've changed.
Well, you play so much stuff for work, and so when you finish up at the end of the day, you're like, I think I'm going to go read or spend time with people. And
yeah, I know what you mean by that.
Or catch up on a TV series that you had to skip. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah. So
watching a lot of TV.
Yeah. So I'm sorry.
It's okay. Thank you for stopping
by. I just wanted to say hello.
What's the worst TV show you ever seen?
Probably Two Broke Girls.
That's right. The answer is Cape, actually.
I heard
the
good
cape,
things about
the
Cape.
The Cape is a good one.
I admit, I've only seen I only saw half of an episode, but I just sat there just... It wasn't that it was like oh, this is awful television. I think, and maybe it's a sign of getting older, I was just surprised at some of the things they were saying. Just language. And
I've never seen The Cape. I don't know what we're talking about.
No, he's talking about Two Broke Girls. That is a sign of getting old. The language on the CBS show.
Not the language, but just, you know, I mean, because I think it's like at 8:30 or 9 and just the level of sexuality in it and just...
Mm-hmm. Like, now I want... You're making me want to see it.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, and it's probably just a sign of getting older, but you actually just sit there and go, is this appropriate? Should this not be after 10 on a cable channel?
Well, it's not called Two Rich Girls That Went to Private School. And know how to talk really nice.
That's true.
Because that would be really long.
Yes.
Yep. That would take up a lot of space on YouTube. Yeah.
Levi, we miss you.
I miss you guys, too.
Desperately.
Well, I will definitely see you at E3.
E3, yeah.
And probably at an event before then, I would imagine.
Possibly.
Possibly.
I won't be at Judges Week, but Greg will.
You will?
And Mitchell.
Yeah. Yep. I'll see you next week.
Yep. Cool.
Cool.
Levi Buchanan, ladies and gentlemen.
Just a dog. I miss him.
A god among men.
It's weird to have him back and think, man, we used to work with this guy.
I know, man.
He used to be here, kind of. Not really, but he came sometimes.
Anyway, we were talking about Hitman. I think we're
done.
We're probably
nobody
done.
Cares about it. The interest in Hitman died when Arthur left.
Anthony and I still have the love. Kinda.
I like Hitman. I'll check out the
I'm game. Looking. Yeah, I'm looking forward to checking it out. But I remember everybody creamed their pants for it last year at pre-E3.
Is that the plural for multiple Hitmans?
Hitman.
I also would have said Hitmans.
Yeah.
Anyways, everybody loved the demo last year, I remember.
It looked very pretty.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen much of it. I'm looking forward to it.
Mitch, is Internet Explorer coming to Xbox?
So the rumors say. Can't wait to use that. That'll be lots
the
of fun.
The killer app.
Only 6 years later than anybody would have cared for.
Yeah, that's so. It's interesting to me because they have, like Greg said, they sort of have taken an app approach to Xbox.
Including the IGN app. Download now. It's free.
Yes. Watch the live streams. All V3 right there. IGN.
It's true.
Good.
Yeah, true.
Well done.
But then, like, putting on Internet Explorer seems to be the opposite of apps, right? Because then you can just go to IGN through Internet Explorer on your.
Yeah,
on
I guess
Xbox.
So. And, like, I wonder, would you be able to run Hulu and Netflix through it the same way
Not
you can?
Well, I bet. Yeah.
Yeah, I doubt it. There's always some dumb workaround.
And there's already Bing on Xbox, right?
Yeah.
I don't use it, but it's there.
It's,
right?
It's actually really helpful if you're searching for something on the marketplace. Like, Bing, search Enslaved Odyssey to the West or whatever. It's going to bring up, like, Enslaved DLC trailers, whatever.
I never use Bing on my computer.
No. It's because it's
That's
terrible.
Xbox, Bing!
Yep.
The first time I find
naked tits.
First time I had to find Bing.
Naked
I
tits.
I don't know. That's how you got to be naked. Precise to get what you want. Yeah, Bing.
Really?
It doesn't like words like tits. It'll probably just change it to like fits and then bring up like a fitness game.
No, I definitely don't want that.
No,
you might see some tits in a fitness game.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Not the right kind of tits, though. I like saying tits.
Yeah, it's a good word.
It's a good word.
Yeah, this is really a good game.
Sharp.
We're hearing that if this is true, Internet Explorer would be designed to use Kinect with. So you can just search with your voice, wave your hands around the browser screen.
Internet Explorer, address bar, http://nakedtits.brianaltano.com.
Download Firefox. It's the only thing I've ever done with Internet Explorer.
Yeah.
Find Adobe Flash Driver.
Google Bing.
Who does this serve, right? Like, who's going to use this at this point?
I don't know.
Maybe that's just like a feature for the sort of broad, casual mainstream audience that Microsoft is going for.
Yeah,
you can browse the web on your 360. Like, even that seems old. Sounds old.
Yeah, it sounds really old.
It's probably a movement just to like have parity between Windows Phone and Xbox Live, because that's kind of the whole idea behind that terrible new UI. Mm. And so it's more like Windows.
I think Greg's onto something, and this is going to be great for people who want to look at porn and don't want to share a computer with their dad and mom.
Well, but
ain't nobody checking the Xbox
on their big TV. Like,
in your basement, in your room.
It's not very private. It's like even less private than a TV.
You can't tell me you've never, out of curiosity, been like, my PlayStation has a browser. Wait a minute.
No, I don't.
Really?
Not that I
never
ever turn on a PlayStation.
I need 52 inch.
Netscape Navigator.
Yeah, if you've never experienced 52 inches of porn,
it's terrible.
Yeah, it's really bad.
There's in there, but there's the PS3 porn app, so you're fine. You know, you get around any of this stuff. It's third party, but it's designed for the PS3.
There we go.
Does it work well?
Yeah. Remember we did a PlayStation conversation about it once.
Yeah.
It worked good.
Nice.
Me worked good. But back to the original argument here. Yes, people watch porn on their big screen TV. Like, your parents are asleep. You're in the living room. You're in your basement where you have all your gaming stuff.
I don't think I've ever done that.
You're thinking too into the box, man. You haven't lived.
Yeah.
Liberate yourself.
All
right.
Not only have I done that when I lived at home with my parents, but I fell asleep and the menu was looping all night, and my parents came in at one point and it was just on the screen. I was like, oh fuck. They're like, hey, wake up and get that trash off the TV. So be careful, don't fall asleep. Stay awake, drink plenty of coffee.
Anyway, Microsoft will of course be holding a press conference at E3. Maybe they'll make an announcement about Internet Explorer there.
Maybe.
And one more thing. We all know how you like to search the internet. So we're bringing the World Wide Web to the Xbox 360.
Oh my God!
It's just www on the screen, HTTP on the screen.
No, it'll be that the dubstep ad they currently have on all the commercials.
God.
Yes.
Yeah.
So a week ago, we'd already seen Avengers. We already talked about it. We liked the Avengers.
Yeah, we loved the Avengers.
There was not a game released to coincide with the movie.
No, I remember THQ was working on one, and then it got canceled a long time ago.
Yeah.
It was first person. Looked not like fun.
Yeah, not fans of money, those guys.
No.
money.
It was a first person Avengers
game? Yeah. You remember seeing this footage? No. It was terrible. Oh, it was Iron Man hands. You're on the shield carrier, and the Iron Man hands, and then they switched to Hulk. Yeah, and Hulk's just punching and throwing things. Like, no wonder they canceled this.
Well, there was an Avengers game announced yesterday, and it could end up being very similar to that because it's motion controlled.
I saw that. Yeah,
Avengers.
Wii U and Kinect.
Yeah,
interesting way to go.
So you could imagine if a Kinect Avengers game could be very much like Kinect Star Wars, where it's a sort of first person. Well, I don't know. Maybe Kinect
Star Wars not first person.
Yeah. I'm Nick Fury.
Wow. Don't even say that. It's so loud that they'll hear it.
It's called Avengers Battle for Earth.
The greatest title of
Battle
all time.
Battle for
Earth. Now, this is based on the Secret Invasion storyline. Right. I did some research.
Good. Okay, here we go.
I
drop
had
the
to.
Comic knowledge.
I had to because Greg's not... He's usually our comic book guy, but he's not a Marvel guy.
Exactly. So I am decidedly anti-Marvel. Everyone knows that.
Wow. I guess I didn't know you were so hostile towards
Marvel.
All these Marvel movies and you love them.
Yeah, well, no, I grew up at one point. It's similar.
Someday.
Growing up, it was very similar to, like, you know, you had to choose Sega or Nintendo. You had to pick DC or Marvel. You're a nerd. All right, I'm sorry.
Okay,
wait. You fucking had your sunglasses on and your little cardboard beatbox and you're just there having fun.
You realize I went through a comic book phase and my dad is a huge comic book nerd and he never told me that you had to choose Marvel or
DC. Wow, what a surprise. Your adult dad told you not to make a fanboy argument. But when you're coming up with other comic nerds, things start happening.
Okay. So are you saying you're not an adult now? Because you've made a fanboy choice.
When?
Whenever you decided that Marvel was terrible and DC.
No, I'm saying, but back in the day. Like, I'll pick up Spider-Man books now if they're interesting. I like Ultimate Spider-Man a lot and stuff like that. But the main Marvel universe, I don't have a history, so I'm not, like, grounded.
I was more of an Image Comics guy.
Yeah, Image Comics is awesome. I love
Which is
Image.
A very hipster thing to say,
Did you read Invincible?
Yes.
Oh,
and
my
I read
God. So good.
The Max and
no, you don't even know
Wildcat.
What about Savage Dragon? Was that Image?
Savage Dragon. Invincible, I read the new Invincible last night. It was really good.
Wasn't Shadowhawk one of them?
I gotta grab that.
Yeah, it's good. I won't spoil it for you, but there's some twists.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. About time.
Anyway, Secret Invasion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Scrolls, aren't there Skrulls involved?
Yes, which are shape-shifting alien invaders.
Right.
I already don't care. And all that spacey bullshit is the worst part
about
Marvel.
Well, me and Mitch hate space!
But that's like what they did with the Avengers movie too, right?
Yeah. Yep. But they did it in the right way, where they're like, you're going to be on Earth. You're just going to be on Earth the whole time.
And the invaders
is
coming from space?
Exactly.
They were there for 5 minutes.
Yep. Fine. Good enough. Yeah. Spoilers, by the way, everybody. Sorry. You should have seen it. You had a week.
Did you guys read that news story on IGN that they calculated how much damage?
$106 billion.
$160 billion worth of damage.
Yep.
Yeah. Which was like 2 9/11s.
Yeah. Yep. It's more than Katrina and 9/11 combined or something.
It's insane.
Yep.
That was a pretty cool
story. That's why we don't have superheroes.
The Avengers Battle for Earth is being developed by Ubisoft. Oh, sorry, this is a Ubisoft game, by the way. Being developed by Ubisoft Quebec, the same studio that's working on the Wii U version of Assassin's Creed 3.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, what's interesting is that since this game is being made for both Kinect and Wii U, those are very different motion control systems, mm-hmm. right?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So how do you make the same game for Kinect and Wii U?
You probably make it on Kinect and then you port it down to the Wii U and put in some
iPad
controls.
I'm sure they'll figure out a way to make it suck on both. It's not hard to do with motion controls. It's pretty easy.
Yeah. I'm sad.
It is a disappointment. I mean, you hope somewhere... I mean, like, historically, Marvel has not been great with their licensed video games.
People rave about Spider-Man 2?
Yeah, but
that game is like 15 fucking years old.
Exactly.
Really that old?
Yeah. And they don't rave about, oh man, the storyline was so good. I'm talking like, we've seen Batman Arkham Asylum, we've seen Batman Arkham City. Hopefully somewhere in a studio right now, someone is working on an Avengers game that's an original thing. It's not tied into movies. It just made a gajillion billion dollars. People are going to care about this franchise for years and years to come. Let's make a really good game. Let's make something really cool.
I'm sure it's going to be a free-to-play browser-based demo, probably.
Mitch, get me the gun. This is the world I don't want to live in anymore.
Do you remember?
The next Spider-Man has potential to be good.
Yes and no.
I don't know why they keep screwing that up. It's got Stan Lee.
It's got potential.
That was so dumb.
It has potential for sure, because it's open-world Spider-Man.
Yeah.
It's Beanox, who to their credit now, are hit and miss. They're 1-1 on the Spider-Man games. The big drawback, of course, is that it's a movie tie-in.
Yeah.
But hey, let's tie it to the fucking movie. I know, but that's...
Except, yeah, in the... But they've got, like, different villains, like the Rhino, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That aren't in.
Yeah. Rhino's in every Spider-Man game because he's never in a movie. No one's ever going to cast Rhino in a movie, so they always toss him in here. Yeah. I mean, what we're describing is every Spider-Man game that's been tied to a movie since then, and none of them have been good, right? Mm. Like, oh, well, you know, this happens in the movie universe, but you don't go through the exact movie events and blah, blah, blah. And you watch the trailer, it's just him fighting fucking spider robots. It's like, oh, okay.
Well, that's the thing about Spider-Man. Aside from Venom and Carnage, his villains always sucked.
Oh, you got the Mysterious Six up there. You got Mysterio.
Mysterio's a joke.
What about he's wearing a fishbowl. Yeah, I like Doc Ock.
Doc Ock's okay. He doesn't make any sense.
Doc Ock's awesome. None of them make sense.
What about Kraven the Hunter?
Kraven the Hunter sucks my ass.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just remember. I was just trying to think of
that's good. That's good.
Did he even have any superpowers?
No, the lizard's terrible, too.
Maybe he was like a hunter super smell or something like that.
Yeah, he had like heightened senses, I think.
He wore like a sleeveless.
Yeah, he wore like a leopard print. Oh, comics.
Now their fashion style was all very like village people and the homeless man. Like the lizard's got like a ripped up lab coat that he doesn't want to take off. He just keeps it on with his gross tail and everything. His wet skin.
You remember that Wolverine game?
Yeah, another one that was great outside of all the story shit they tried to pull in from the movie.
Oh, that one, yeah. But it was just really cool that they made a mature,
I know,
violence.
In my heart of hearts, Wolverine I hope game. Raven is not completely under the Call of Duty weight and whatever. Or they're always doing. They're working on Call of Duty, right?
Yeah.
I hope they're not under that, and someone on that team is working on a Wolverine game that is not tied into anything.
Yep.
We're going to make our own story. We're going to do our own shit. We're not going to try to bring it into this fucking retarded X-Men
they did that
Origins
once,
movie.
And it did not work out well.
Raven did or some
no the X-Men separate from all the movie shit.
Sure.
X2 Wolverine's Revenge and it was no good.
Yeah. I mean there's plenty of games that have tried. I mean X-Men Legends and stuff wasn't connected to the X-Men movies, but that was fun. I mean dungeon like crawling stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Marvel Ultimate Alliance was fun the first time around, and then
I totally two forgot about totally X-Men Legends.
Crapped out on us.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah,
we're ready.
End discussion. Let's check in with the listeners.
Hey, listeners.
Hello, listeners.
Hi.
Listeners, remember you can always reach us at gamescoop@ign.com, just like Jesse Beal did.
I wish that I had Jesse Beal.
Jesse asks, does a review embargo for a game prevent you from suggesting to your audience to buy or skip the game the weekend before it launches?
Yes. Usually impressions are embargoed.
The reason I ask is that most reviews go up the day the game launches on Tuesday, but online retailers will start shipping the games on Monday.
Yep. Welcome to this is the game.
Yeah.
This is the game. We don't want you to influence our buyers against us or for us or whatever. We're not super confident in this game, so your embargo is the day the game comes out.
Mm-hmm.
So that you cannot cancel your pre-order. You cannot get out of it.
Go on Rotten Tomatoes the night before a bad movie comes out and see how many reviews are up.
Yeah.
Because they don't send people to screeners and stuff like that. This is just standard practice.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
I mean, it goes both ways. I mean, there's plenty of games that are good that don't. Have a release date embargo, right? Like, I mean, Starhawk was the day before, but then again, look at Starhawk's reviews; they're all over the place.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things. If you're not putting out an Uncharted or a Halo that you know is going to do great, then it's usually in your interest to keep it to that Tuesday or whatever.
You remember the Killzone 2 embargo a full month before the release?
And that game didn't sell.
Insane.
Wow, that game didn't sell well, and that's when it gets really screwed up. And Sony's always a good example of how screwy it gets when you're in every territory everywhere. Because then you get different release dates, so then reviews come out at the wrong time, and people don't know about your game on the real release date. You embargo it for a Tuesday, all the reviews go up. It's all over online. It's got an ad campaign. It's in store. They're pounding it into your head that you can go to the store now and buy that game.
You're pounding the table, actually.
I know. I'm making a point, Brian. You wouldn't know anything about it. Would you like to say Brap some more? Or tell me another story about a fucking sex ghost?
I won't say it 20 times in 3 seconds while banging the table like an asshole, though.
Go draw me a picture.
I will.
Good.
Every week on Up at Noon.
Yeah, on Mondays on Start.
Why do Mommy and Daddy have to fight?
How great would it be if we had interns that would bring us mid-podcast coffees?
I know. I was just thinking, I want another one, but I don't want to leave.
No, yeah.
You guys drink yours fast. I still got half a cup. You want half of it?
No.
I wonder if Levi left.
We can all. Greg and I can chip in and make a new cup for someone. I got half a coffee, too.
No, I'm just dreaming.
California dream.
I can't decide if I was going to add anything to that. Let's move on.
Okay.
Oh no, I was going to say this.
I remembered.
Right. Hello, listeners.
Greg, what we learned at GDC
uh-huh.
that even bad reviews can help sell a game.
Sure.
We learned this from our good friend Eric Rudvig.
Yeah, IGN alum.
Because even a bad review can raise awareness in the consumer's mind that this game exists and is out there. And their bad impression of the game will fade over time. So it can actually help game sales down the road. Six months from now, they'll see a game on the shelf and they'll be like, oh, I've heard of this game. But maybe they don't remember exactly what the score was or whatever. And that will make them more likely to purchase that game.
Yeah, I mean, if you need a shining example of how little we matter, look at the sales of Raccoon City. Right, I mean, was just universally panned.
It's blowing up, blowing up in Japan. Yeah.
It's one of those things where people buy horrible games just to see if they're as bad as we said they are. Because
you think so?
On the PlayStation Network, three months ago, Amy was the second best-selling game, some months ago. When Amy came out, it was the second best-selling game. And then this month, I Am Alive is the best-selling game again, I think.
Yeah. I think it's a little bit different. Those are a little bit, they're cheaper, they're more impulse, you know. Yeah.
Sure, but I'm saying that people are talking about this game one way or another, and that's projecting it up to be like, oh, well, I gotta fucking try this.
I think that the discovery aspect of it means that we're not really so much of a conduit for these things as we think we are. Like, I don't think that people are going, man, they gave that game a really bad score. I got to check this train wreck out. As much as they are like, hey, I'm in a store. There's a new Resident Evil game. Let me check it out. Like, without a Greg Miller getting between. Not to say you're irrelevant or anything.
To that point, something like Deadly Premonition would get, like, it had no press until the reviews came. Mm-hmm. And it was like, what the fuck is this game? It's crazy. It's dumb. It doesn't make any sense. Everyone kind of panned it, except for, like, one or two people who, I guess, got it. And then, I don't know, that game didn't sell a ton, but it's like the option for a sequel is there, so it sold enough that they have enough money.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there was also the marketing blitz for Raccoon City was insane.
Yeah.
It was one of the biggest campaigns I've seen for a game in ages. So we could have had every reviewer in the world saying, this is a 3. And which we did.
But I think in a lot of ways our industry and culture or whatever is a lot different than other things, right? And it's one of those things where even when something's bad or really, whether it's really bad or really good, people want to be versed in what's happening. And that's why people are so into used games and renting games, because they want to be totally educated so they can listen to GameScoop and they can write into a podcast and have an educated question, or they can, you know, meet us at PAX and talk to us there about games. We're this gaming culture where, you know, if you only play Call of Duty and you only buy one or two games for your PS3 a year, you're looked at as, oh, you're a casual gamer. You know, your opinion. And like, we're hardcore gamers where we buy everything, we read everything, we read every site, we read every, you know what I mean? Like, I think that's kind of this influence of like, yeah, okay, Resident Evil, I saw that everybody hated the Raccoon City or whatever, but I like multiplayer and I kind of like Left 4 Dead and I want to try this and see what my take is on it and stuff like that. I think there's something to be said for that.
I agree.
This is Remy.
Okay. I almost revealed the Remy we know from PR. I was like, is it this person? And then I stopped myself. It's probably not her.
Remy says, hey guys, I need your advice. I have a Best Buy gift card. I can get 3 of the biggest games in May, Max Payne 3, Ghost Recon Future Soldier, and Dragon's Dogma, or I can get a cheap $200 Android tablet.
Oh, okay.
What do you guys recommend I do? I really want a tablet, but I also want to play these games.
You can look on porn on your tablet, so.
I mean, there's a lot of layers to this question.
I know.
So
the games don't sound that good.
Max Payne 3, Ghost Recon, and Dragon's Dogma?
Of all three of those, I want to play Max Payne.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, we saw Ghost Recon, we played it. I was like, I don't know, I've seen enough.
I'm actually kind of interested to check out Dragon's Dogma.
Okay.
We can't really talk about Max Payne, right?
Nope.
Okay.
I have not played it, I mean.
I played the first two chapters last night.
I finished it last night.
Are you reviewing?
Anyway, what would you guys suggest he does with his mouth?
So here's my thing. I don't buy a cheap Android tablet.
That's the other layer to this.
Why? What are you going to do with that? Like, why? Don't you want the best? I don't know.
Yes,
I
would do.
Get if you're going to get a tablet, save your money for an iPad. Like, there's really no.
You could probably even get like a used first generation iPad for that kind of money at this point.
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. You could sell your. No.
It's like if you would you apply that same thought process to games? Like, I want to get a really cheap sort of broken ass generic game. You know, like.
Yeah.
You want the best games, right?
I can only speak from personal experience. I have an iPad. My roommate, who's not Colin, Mike Mitchell, he has the Android one of the Android tablets, and it's. It's totally like the kid who's trying to like talk up Sega back in the day.
It's really cool, man.
It's pretty good. You know, it does most. It doesn't have Comixology and it doesn't have Netflix and it. But it's, you know, I can tweet on it. You know what I mean? It's like, no, it's just not working.
Remy, I think you deserve the best.
Around, nothing's ever gonna bring Remy down.
My recommendation is to go with the games. Let us know what you decide.
Go with God.
This is Tim Ferreira. My question is why IGN, the best in the business with gaming news, makes a big deal out of retailers claiming to have release dates on games. Many times these are incorrect. Do retailers get information on release dates before the all-knowing IGN?
Yep.
Well, yes. Uh-huh. Absolutely.
Yep. Yep. Yeah.
And I don't think that's true. I don't know where you're getting this data that many times these are incorrect. So I think, you know, retailers absolutely do know release dates before we do.
That South America thing keeps, that South America story, I can't remember off the top of my head, keeps breaking release dates in announcing games.
It's like, all right. Honestly, when I want to know a game's release date, I look at Amazon. They're the most accurate place for a game release date.
They also break embargoes often. Yeah. Hey, everybody got, oh, fuck, that's tomorrow.
It only makes sense if they would know first, because they have to know when they can sell the game.
Yeah, they know way ahead
also
of
like
us.
In terms of how we handle news coverage like this, we're very careful. We double check and we'll run stories and say, hey, this is a rumor. We don't flat out, like, if some kid goes into a Best Buy and puts a sticker on the wall and tweets a picture at us, we don't just run it automatically. You know, there's a lot of layers here. So, but at the same time, a lot of these things turn out to be true. So,
like the Call of Duty one we just had.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so it's worth reporting that stuff.
Again, we want to be part of the conversation with you. That's the whole point.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
This is Ty Blue.
I like this name.
That's a good one.
I remember Ty Rue.
Ty Blue says, hello.
Hey.
I recently went on the Wii's virtual console. I bought the original Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past, and Majora's Mask. Oh, man, Ty Blue. How about that Majora's Mask? God damn that game.
Right? What a bad game.
No!
No!
You're crazy, dude.
That, I love Zelda more than anyone in this building, and that is a bad game.
Have you met Audrey and Rich? I don't know what's up.
Yeah, I was playing Zelda games when Audrey wasn't even a thought yet.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
I guess that.
Great. So I have years on her.
You know, I totally get maybe you didn't care for Majora's Mask, but you really can't make the argument that it's a bad game.
Like, it's a bad Zelda game.
It is Deadly Premonition.
No, it's a bad Zelda game.
It's awesome.
The temples are...
Because it did something different?
No, the temples are poorly designed. There's very few of them. The weapons aren't very cool. The story's dumb. Having to repeat things constantly is dumb.
Having to repeat things constantly is dumb. So every Zelda game's blueprint.
All right, having to live the same 3 days over and over ad nauseum to make sure a moon doesn't land on the Earth is stupid.
Totally different for a change, thanks. I'm not just some dumb elf who wakes up with nothing and I get a wooden sword and a wooden shield.
No,
and
you still are.
With this dumbass chicken
Why
under my arm.
Why, Daddy, still fight?
You still are.
No, I was already established. I was Link and I lost Eponina.
What? I loved Majora's Mask. Anyway.
Eponina.
Again, when you're the only kid playing these games, and there's no dialogue in them, you're making up pronunciations left and right.
And letters in the word.
Yeah.
That's right.
Anyway, he downloaded these three Zelda games. Ty Blue says, I was talking to my friend. I told him Legend of Zelda could be my favorite game of all time. He scoffed. He said his was Black Ops.
What?
I was very disappointed in this. We are both 12. And I realize the number of people who will never play an NES game will only get better, and most kids don't care to learn the roots of gaming. I am different. I studied up on retro gaming, going so far as to study the 2600. So my question to you is, what do you think about the new generation of gamers who probably don't care to learn about gaming history and just want to play Call of Duty?
I think they're dumb.
Yeah.
Well, so I don't... I'm not like an old man like shouting at these kids get off my lawn or anything. I think, you know, whatever. To each their own. Whatever you want to
exactly.
play.
Exactly. Good
is
for
fine.
Them. Enjoy what you want to enjoy. Go ahead. It's like right now. What's your favorite movie of all time? Mine's Ghostbusters. It's not Citizen Kane or whatever. You know what
the
I mean?
Kids
like,
today will be saying Avengers.
You know? Yeah, exactly. It's like, whatever. This is how it works. This is how it goes and grows and brings new people in.
I think it's great if you want to learn about, you know, retro gaming and where gaming came from, but... If you're not interested in that, that's fine.
Yeah,
you know, play what you want.
On the other hand, if you think Black Ops is the best game of all time, you're stupid.
Well, almost as stupid as if you think Majora's Mask is a
Thank
bad
you.
Game.
Oh, wow. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna replay Majora's Mask for you guys, and I'll give it a fair shake as an older,
you know what,
kinder, meaner man.
To be fair. I should play it again, because I have not played it since it originally came
all right,
out.
Are we about to make a GameScoop pact, and I'll play Majora's Mask?
I'm not going to do that, because I don't care.
I need to figure out a way to play it.
Virtual
don't
console.
Want to turn on a Wii.
Okay. Yeah, I'd have to unpack mine and set it up.
Why don't they put that on a 3DS?
Do you have a GameCube?
Yeah.
Okay, so you can play it on a GameCube.
Okay, yeah, I'll do that.
All right, so we're going to do this as like a weekly feature, a daily feature?
Yeah,
what are we doing?
We'll check in
on how we're doing. All right.
Still
Let's do it. I want a pinky swear. When do we start playing?
When?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like we download. Oh, fuck, I got Judges Week.
Yeah.
Well, this is not going to happen before E3.
No, it's not.
Okay.
Anyway, well, it's something
GameScoop
we'd like
listeners,
to do.
Write into gamescoop@ign.com after E3 to remind us of this.
Yeah. Or tweet at us. You know, mm-hmm. I'm sure you all follow us on Twitter.
It's
right?
The Come only on. Zelda game I haven't finished because I was just bored to tears. But maybe I was playing it wrong.
Wait, did you say the only Zelda you haven't finished?
Yeah.
You finished Skyward Sword?
Actually, that's not true. I didn't finish Skyward Sword. I got 40 hours into Skyward Sword before I was like, nope, can't do it. Not doing this anymore.
This is Brad Main from Australia.
Oh, so he's from Maine. I'd be Greg Illinois.
Brian, New Jersey.
Mitch Canada sounds like a really awesome superhero.
Yeah. Hey, guys.
Yes.
I was wondering if any of you are excited for the new Arkham City content. He's spelled Arkham, A-R-K-U-M. From the brief description, it obviously takes place after the main story. Mm-hmm. I've been wondering why they never released DLC for what Robin and Nightwing got up to. To show what they were doing while Batman was busy.
I can show you my fan fiction if you want to know what they got up to.
Is it erotic or normal?
Well, you bet it is.
All right. Greg, you played it, right?
I just played it. I liked it a lot. So, I mean, spoilers for this in the end of the game, because this happens after
the
end of the game.
The actual game.
Yeah. What?
Both. Not the end of the DLC.
Correct. Okay. I'm going to spoil the end of the game, mm-hmm. maybe, I don't know, and then the beginning of the DLC. Okay. Tune out right now. All right, yeah. So it starts and you're playing as Robin. Picks up after the events of Arkham City. They leave it vague, but like a few weeks have passed. Mm-hmm. Arkham City's been cleared out of all the guys. It's condemned. Harley, crestfallen over the death of the Joker, comes back in, sets up in the steel mill, but changes everything, like the paint job or whatever, and has her own crew now, basically, whatever, floating around. And Batman broke in apparently 2 days ago and got captured, and nobody's heard from him since. So the game starts with you playing as Robin. Going into the, you know, you're already in Harley's building, talking to Oracle, and she says all this awesome stuff about how she's really worried about Batman, not only because he's missing for 2 days, but ever since the death of the Joker, ever since the death of Talia, he's like a totally different person. Like he's something's wrong, and I think that's just an awesome thing because Batman's already such an unhinged person in general, let alone now. So you go and investigate, and then eventually it jumps back to Batman, and like 2 days earlier, and then it jumps forward to Robin again, and stuff like that.
So wait, Harley's boyfriend dies, and her response is to repaint the steel mill?
Well, you know,
it's therapy.
Yeah, exactly.
She's
exactly.
Like, I don't like this color.
It's not so much, you know, she's putting up more, not just Joker paraphernalia, you know, mm-hmm. Harley paraphernalia. Yeah, okay.
Well, that guy's dead. I'm going to put my posters up now. Yep.
Finally, I can expand.
How does Robin get around? Because like Batman and Catwoman could both get around like really efficiently.
Well, this is the catch is that Arkham City isn't. This is like when you want to play this DLC, it's off the main menu. You go to mm-hmm. it, and so it starts with Robin already in Harley's steel.
Oh,
mill.
So it's just the steel.
So exactly for him, okay. And then yeah, Batman. But he's got a grappling hook, so he can still do the old like okay. you know grapple up to okay. events and whatnot.
But from, he can't
like,
fly around forward. Or anything, right?
What
from like that bridge forward. Area.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, he's already inside. I think the thing. Oh, Batman okay. starts on the outside gotcha. When you flash back to him. But
can,
it's, I don't
he,
think
can he like glide or anything like that?
I didn't. I only got to play a little bit. I played the first like 28 minutes or so.
Man, Robin sucks.
Robin's awesome.
What? He doesn't do anything.
Beats Ben with fucking.
He's got a bow staff. You can turn it into a shield.
Batman
you got
can
shurikens.
Fly around the city.
Oh my god.
Robin's got to fucking call a cab. Ridiculous. Get a real superhero gig.
So yeah, it's good. You should play it.
Okay. This is Rolls-Royce 5.
Hey!
I love
a
that.
Long time a IGN fan. I don't think, has he ever written in the GameScoop before?
It sounds familiar to me.
Okay,
so
okay, maybe. I'm sorry, my bad. Never.
His question is The Avengers better than The Dark Knight? I say yes.
It depends on what you mean.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, is it a better film or is it more fun? Because I had a better time watching The Avengers, but goddamn, The Dark Knight is so good.
Well, so my thing with The Dark Knight is that it has an amazing first and second act, and
yes.
it falls apart
yes.
in the
I'm
final
totally
act.
Totally with you on that. I say that to people, and they look at me like I'm crazy, but no, totally with you.
Totally unsatisfying ending in the way they handle Two-Face and Joker
oh, yeah.
at the end.
Yeah, kinda, okay.
It's really cheesy with the two ships and the prisoners.
The prisoners on the boat
it's
kinda,
give me
so
a,
dumb.
It's like, where did this amazing movie go? What am I watching now?
He's fighting dogs on a roof. Let me get
and
out of here.
I didn't have that feeling with The Avengers. I loved it the whole way through.
To that point, I think the first act of The Avengers was, I had a similar issue where I was like, well, hang on.
Yeah.
You just spent like five movies setting up. Why are you spending the first hour of this movie setting up? And that was my issue.
Yeah.
But beyond that,
I get
yeah,
that
so good.
It does take like a half hour or so for The Avengers to really get going, yeah. I think. But I don't know.
Both are very good.
Yeah.
I enjoy them both.
I don't want to choose.
Okay.
I had a lot of fun with The Avengers.
Yeah.
And I don't remember seeing The Dark Knight and being like, I have to go see this again. Mm-hmm. I have to go see this in theaters again. And I really want to go see Avengers again.
Can we do that?
Sure.
Soon?
Sure.
Okay. Mm-hmm. After Judges? Mm-hmm. During Judges?
During Judges, sure.
During Judges.
see you guys later, or whatever studio we're supposed to be seeing.
Vamp, Greg.
Hey, everybody. It's me, Greg Miller.
Are you excited for the next Batman movie?
I mean, yes, because it's another Batman movie.
Right.
But, like, the trailers have done nothing for me.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat.
It's just weird. Like, what are we, and, like, the Bane stuff.
So, have you seen did you go see Mission Impossible and see, like,
not.
That 15-minute clip
no,
with
I
Bane?
No, I didn't see it.
So, that was fucking awesome.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, that was really cool.
It was, like, just sets up that character. You couldn't understand a word he was saying at
now,
the time.
So, now they changed it. You can understand everything.
He's crystal clear now. It's kind of weird,
but now he sounds kind of shitty.
And that's the thing too, like, and knowing nothing about, like, I'm kind of not in blackout about it. I watch the trailers or whatever, but knowing nothing about, like, who Bane is, you look at that and him walking around Gotham in this fur coat with this fucking mask on, you're like, what is this?
See, that's exactly my problem. Like, I've now gone into blackout. I don't want to see anything else, but I work for IGN, so it's impossible to hide from these things. Like, utterly impossible, which is the first worldest problem you could have. But I mean, all the stuff, like all the set leaks, and you see the costume reveals, and people, like, you know, the bat hover thing, sitting on the back of a car, like in a tow truck or something. I hate seeing all this shit now. That's like, it's all part of it. Like, you go on Twitter and there's, you know, things that are, you're not meant to see these things for a year and a half until they're in the actual movie. And I see them all and they look so dumb to me.
Yeah,
like a bunch of criminals standing around fighting in the front steps of City Hall.
That I thought looked cool.
With some guys throwing confetti off the roof to make it look like it's snowing. I'm like, I don't want to see that. I just want to see the movie. Just show me everything.
See, that's what the Avengers. Like, I didn't go to our stories, and then I made sure I saw it at midnight, so I couldn't have it ruined for me any more than it's already been ruined. Just in general. So me and Damon bought our Dark Knight ticket. Whatever. How long ago?
Yeah,
6 months ago. It's been sitting on our desk.
True.
Yeah, I don't want to see a picture of Thor's shoe or something like that.
No, that was the worst. That was the biggest spoiler in the movie. He's wearing Keds.
This is Kyle Sweatman.
Oh, poor name.
He says, I am a gamer.
Brought to you by Rightguard.
I am a gamer.
Speedstick.
However, because I have a wife, three boys, and other responsibilities, about a year and a half ago, I chose to quit playing video games to focus on other priorities. The last game I played through was Mass Effect 2. After a nervous breakdown from the pressures of life, I said, screw it, and picked up a brand new Xbox 360 Slim. Congratulations.
My kids aren't going to college.
Welcome back.
Now I have a problem. I still have my other priorities, so my time to play games is very limited, maybe 10 to 12 hours a week. With that said, I want to get the best bang for my buck. Which game that was released in the last year and a half should I play out of the following options? Red Dead Redemption, Mass Effect 3, Skyrim, or Portal 2?
Red Dead.
If I missed a title that is a must-play, please fill me in.
Oh my god.
Why do you pick Red Dead?
Red Dead is so good. That's my favorite game of that year.
I would go Red Dead as well.
I played that game for 120 hours.
Red Dead is awesome, but he does not have 120 hours.
Yeah, so Portal 2. Bang for his buck, though.
Oh, I thought we were going bang for his buck that he wanted to have something, one game he could play for hours and hours and hours on end. That's what I took away from the conversation.
You can play through that story, you can explore that world, you can do a bunch of stuff, you can play the multiplayer. Like, there's a ton there for you if you want to commit to one game. Like, that's the one.
I probably told this before, but I had a friend that played that game like it was just Big Buck Hunter, and he would just any story missions, he would just hang out,
just
in
lay
the woods
his bait
and,
down, and
yeah, just sit around, shoot things. That was it.
That's super fun.
Yeah, totally. There were days where I did that too. I'd come home and spend 4 hours just hunting, and then I'd come in and sell all my pellets, and then go back out and do it again. I was like, I won $1 million.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
That game is great. If you are looking for a game that you can play for a long, long time, I would say, you know, you can do the same with Skyrim, but the story is so much better in Red Dead Redemption.
Totally, totally.
Mm-hmm. I still lean towards Portal 2. And I mean, that is just a fantastic, fun game to get
very
through.
True.
And exactly. With the new level editor now, we saw the number, there was like 35,000 new stages.
That's
made
only on
already.
PC.
Yeah, he's playing on Xbox.
Right.
But I mean, that is a game you could actually finish in a decent amount of time.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic.
It's got to be like $40 now, right?
I don't know. But it could be.
Yeah.
It could also be $41.
It could be $100.
This is a land of infinite possibilities.
And just get your kids to clean the house. You know, you got three boys.
Yeah, if it's not too late, I mean, just leave everyone. Just go start a new life. It's not too late.
Plenty of fatherless kids grew up to be, you know, great musicians and famous
presidents, I think.
Yeah. Obama didn't have a dad.
I think that's right.
I have no idea if that's true.
I think the island of Hawaii raised him.
Yes. He was raised by a smoke monster. I know nothing about anything.
Let me teach you of the Muslim faith. Yes, smoke dad, tell me.
This is Patrick from Germany.
Oh, wow.
What level of excitement do you guys have for the Wii U on the IGN scale from 1 to 10?
As much.
That's not a one or a ten.
That's like a one.
Oh, okay.
Also,
this is
excitement is a one.
Mitch, this is a radio show. No one can see your hands.
I'm sorry.
In Canada, radio, see you.
I mean, yeah, I know, you know, GameScoop in particular gets a bad rap for being Nintendo haters or whatever and stuff. When we're really, I think we're all Nintendo fanboy, not fanboy.
We're just talking about how much we love Majora's Mask.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. But I mean, the Wii totally, you know, soured us in a lot of ways on just like shovelware and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
And how Nintendo wasn't getting what we wanted. Like, I'm taking this on a Greg Miller diatribe. I'm sorry. I'll stop. Can I go?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Sure. I think a good example of the Wii not getting me right is that I fucking love Smash Brothers, and I had a Smash Brothers launch party at my house for it, and then all the people who were there playing that night left, and I was like, cool, now I'm gonna play people online, and it didn't run.
Yeah.
And so then it was like, well, I'm gonna play by myself. No, and I never played Smash Brothers again.
Yep.
And now PlayStation All-Stars is gonna come out, and I'm gonna get super excited for it and do all these features about it, and I'm sure in the comments I'm gonna get attacked, oh, you're only excited because it's PlayStation exclusive. And it's, no, I'm only excited because it's gonna fucking run online, and I'm gonna be able to play with friends. So that sucks, and that's the Wii not getting me. And then I look at the Wii U, and the Wii U still, from what I've seen, doesn't look like it's aimed at me at all. I don't want to play with more motion controls. I don't want that.
I honestly have no idea who it's aimed at right now.
Yeah.
And I mean,
E3 is going to solidify what the fuck they're doing. It was all tech demos last year. Who the hell knows? And that's why it's kind of weird to be here and be like, oh, well, it's not aimed at me or whatever. I don't know. Yeah, the golfing game didn't. I liked Me Chase when we played that at the demo, but I'm like, I wouldn't buy this thing to play that. Yeah.
I mean, but we already saw, I mean, recently we saw that the new Rayman trailer, and you can see in the trailer there's three people playing with a Wii remote, which I don't know why anyone would still be doing in whatever year that game comes out. And there's one guy sitting in the middle, and she gets... You know, she's the lucky rich one or whatever who gets to play with the nice controller. And she's doing stuff like she's moving platforms up and down with her fingers, which you could easily do with a regular controller. Like, there's nothing
right
there.
Stick.
Yeah, there's nothing there that screams at me and says, oh, wow, we really need like a big clunky tablet for this. And if we do, only one person gets it. And everybody else has to play with these dumb controllers from 4 years ago.
I haven't even seen the trailer, honestly. What that strikes me as, though, is the Me Chase thing, where it was the person with the tablet was the one who was on the run or whatever and could see everybody else, and then everybody else had the regular controller and we're going doing things.
Right, which is a concept they sort of employed with Pac-Man Verse for GameCube, which I don't think anyone played, but you had a Game Boy Advance that used a secondary screen, and only that person was Pac-Man, and only they could see certain things there. And then you had everything else that was on a big screen, and it was like, this is a fun novelty, but I wouldn't design like the ideology of a console around this.
Sure.
So, and obviously, I'm narrow-minded. I'm not a game designer. I don't know what they're going to do with this thing. I'm sure there's going to be some awesome games. Even the Wii, at the end of the day, you know, it had a great Metroid Prime game. It had a Smash Brothers was effectively fun when you played in the same room as people. I too spent hours standing there watching that stupid screen, watching something load, hoping a multiplayer guy would pop in.
Yeah, yeah.
It didn't happen. You know, New Super Mario Brothers was a blast. I had a lot of fun with a lot of games.
I get that. Yeah,
but. Yeah, they're few and far between. And I think more than any other company, Nintendo, when a Nintendo console dies, it dies hard. Like, it goes out so grim. And it, like, the GameCube was just like, holy fuck, what happened? You know, like, this, you're just left in the dust for 2 years and there's nothing happening. So with the Wii U, there's nothing that tells me that's not going to not happen again. Like, we're going to have a couple strong titles here and there, a lot of really bad third-party things, and then it's just going to die really early and young.
What they need to prove at E3 is that they can have games that aren't just inferior versions of other games. Like, we keep hearing about, like, Assassin's Creed 3 is coming. I think
Batman.
Arkham City
and Batman. Arkham City
but it's
coming.
Like, why would I want to play that game on the Wii U when I have a 360 now and I could play it a year ago, or I can play it, you know, online with other people? Like, it has to prove that that controller can do interesting things that aren't just, like, moving platforms.
Yeah.
You have to be able to do interesting things that I want to do, not just because they're novelties. Like, look, you can do it. Yeah, cool. Like, that's not enough. Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously, there's cool ways for them to implement stuff. Like, if you ever played any of the Zeldas on DS, they did this really cool thing where you could trace your boomerang around a room and basically hit 8 different enemies. And that would be cool to do with a batarang, right?
Yeah.
But we're so used to just throwing the fucking batarang that why not just do that, you know? So it's going to be like, and you're breaking yourself from the TV and you're looking at this thing.
Exactly.
I don't know. We'll see how it works, but I don't think that gamers need another device in front of them. That's the opposite of what the Wii did. Was the Wii was trying to simplify things, and now we have, you know, you have an iPad and a television to play a video game. That's not making games more accessible. That's making them more difficult. So we'll see.
Maybe it'll be the opposite, GameScoop listeners. I often get the tweets, almost an old GameScoop, and you guys are all excited about this or that, and then you hate it now 5 years later. It's like, well, maybe this will be the reverse. We're like, oh, man, the Wii U is great.
So I get what's our rating? I guess I'm at like a 5. I'm like, yeah, we'll see. I'm kind of indifferent right now.
Yeah, I'm actually very excited to learn more about
it. Yeah. Sure, sure, sure. I'm really looking forward to their press conference. I'm really looking forward to seeing what the Mario is. Like, that's the thing. If the Mario comes out, the Mario, and it's awesome, like, that'll be the first time I'll think about buying a Wii U at launch.
Yeah.
It hasn't even been a thought yet. What if I buy this? People give
the Wii a lot of shit, but let's not forget that Super Mario Galaxy 1 and 2 came out for
sure,
that.
Sure,
and those are two of the best games of all time. But yeah, all the pressure is on Nintendo this year. Everybody else can just put out some software for their platforms, put out some sequels with the get number 3 exclusives. At the end, get some exclusives, throw a GTA trailer or Black Ops 2, you're good to go.
Yeah.
But, or, you know, Netscape Navigator or whatever you need to show. But Nintendo, this is like, oh shit, we sort of had this unveiling last year that didn't really make the big splash we expected it to, and everything is on them right now. They're leading the charge in the next generation. They're defining where we go for the next 5 years.
No, not true at all.
They're defining where they're going for the next five years.
Yeah. All right, our final question this week comes from Luke Gelino.
Good name.
I was watching Game of Thrones recently. Told some friends how hot I thought the girl who plays Sansa Stark is.
Whoops.
She's tall, pale, with red hair. Just overall good looking. Her name is Sophie Turner. They, of course, looked it up, realized she was 16.
Yep. Uh-huh.
Proceeded to call me a creep.
She's also playing a 12-year-old.
Here's my question for you guys. Here's my question for you guys. Does simply thinking a teenage girl is attractive make you a creep? I don't have any intention of having sex with her or meeting her at all. I simply think she's hot.
See, when you toss in the hot, yes. You're allowed to say someone's attractive. Oh, she's pretty.
Yeah.
She's beautiful.
She's hot.
That's when we're starting to get weird.
But what if you don't know, you know? It's like, say, you see a girl on the street. Oh, she's hot. You don't know
she's
that.
She's four. I know. No, it doesn't make you a creep. No, it doesn't. You have to have, like, all these lascivious thoughts of, like, you know what I mean? You have to have all the knowledge, I think.
Personally. So I went to this.
Here
is,
we go.
This is weird, but
sex
I went to
ghost story.
I went to Puerto Rico a few years ago with my younger brother and my ex girlfriend at the time. And my brother was just like, "Yeah, I just want to."
Does this end with you in jail?
No,
she was your ex girlfriend at the time.
No. Okay. She's my ex girlfriend now.
Okay,
yeah, gotcha. During this time.
Okay,
got you.
Caught him.
I love you, girl.
Brother's there.
So he's like, "Man, I really want to meet like a cute Puerto Rican girl." And me and my ex the whole time, but she was my girlfriend during the time, but the whole time while we were there, we were like, "Oh man, look at that girl over there. She's really cute." And my brother would walk over. My brother was like 18 at the time, and he was like, "No, she's 12." And we were like, "I don't understand why the girls in this country are fully developed by age 12. Like they were just fully developed girls. And if you saw them down the street, you'd be like, yeah, that girl's probably like 25, hot little mamacita." And she'd walk over and be like, "No, that's a child. I'm sorry." So I don't play this game. This is a dangerous game to walk down. I'm also 31, so if I see a girl that's 15, I'm like, "Yeah, you're hot." Like, throw me in the back of a padded car. I don't know.
Throw me in a padded car. Anybody got a padded Oldsmobile?
That's my pedophile friend. Especially one of those jail cars with the bars in the back that they really only put horses in.
Oh, the old paddy wagon. Damon, what's your thought on this?
I think like you said, if you don't know her age, then it's fine, right?
Sure.
Like, if I just see a girl in the street, she's hot, whatever. I don't know anything about her. I don't know how old she is. I think that's okay. But then if you say, well, if you give me the information that she's 15, she's 16 years old, and I still proceed to if I'm like,
if you don't
pursuing
deactivate
her or fantasizing about her, that's where you get into the realm of
confusion. I've actually said to a girl, "Call me in 2 years."
Yeah.
Which did she?
No.
On the other hand, I mean,
well, I don't, it hasn't been 2 years.
It is kind of arbitrary. It is like an arbitrary, restriction that we set on ourselves as a society, right?
Sure.
Because it's like, 16, 18, the only difference is,
And actually, it also varies by state.
Yeah.
Sure. Right?
Like, I think in...
Is it still that way? I know for a while it was.
I think
who
so.
The hell knows? Yeah, but I mean, like, it's also laughable in a lot of ways. Like, there were countdown clocks for the Olsen twins turning 18.
Yeah.
So I bet people thought they were hot. You know what I mean? Like, it's goofy. Yeah. Hmm. Pretty much anybody on the Disney Channel, too.
3, 2, 1, it's okay now.
Yeah. I know, that's so weird. It's like this, all the gunshot goes off and everyone starts masturbating. Like, off to the races. It's ridiculous.
I think you're okay, though, Luke Gelino.
You're fine. Tell your friends to get
it's all
fucked.
Good.
Yeah.
Even though she's supposed to be 12 on the show.
Yeah.
Bing.
What is they're all super young on the show. They're all going to die. Like, what? The median life age is like 12 in itself.
Yeah, it's a different story.
Nobody lives past 30.
Sure. Yeah. I don't know if pedophilia is looked so down upon in a world that has fucking dragons.
Spoilers.
Another mystical
shit. Not seeing the relationship between pedophilia
and
dragons.
I would be like,
there's enough magical crazy shit going on.
Yeah, you have bigger fish to fry, basically. There's bigger problems at hand. I don't know.
Bing bong, bingy 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 bing bong,
That theme song is like 45 minutes long, by the way.
It's great. It's really good.
Yeah. Throw it on loop all day.
I know. I love it on PS3 because you can hit the little fast forward button. It's like...
That's all the scoops we have for you this week. Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Mitch. Thank you, Brian. Last week's untimely passing of MCA from the Beastie Boys has gotten me listening to a lot of Beastie Boys music again recently. So I leave you this week with the symbionic remix of Intergalactic. My name is Damon. This is IGN Game Scoop, and we're out.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.